verse. We'll try to bring to you something that's on my heart, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, and why it's there, and why it's on our heart. Title of the message this morning is Recognizing the Treasure. Some people recognize it, some people are struggling, some people are, they're believing in something that's not a treasure. Some of you are probably familiar with or you've heard the term fool's gold. It's when people will dig for something, and you know, a lot of people have in the past during the gold rushes would forsake everything that they had to run off and find treasure or what they thought would be treasure and end up losing more than they thought that they would find. Some would find fool's gold. It looked like it had value. They thought it had value, and when they really got down to it, they realized there wasn't much value to it at all. Everybody desires something, but what really is the most important thing in life? This is a story that Jesus is speaking, and he's going through the scripture here in Matthew chapter number 13, and he begins to speak a parable to them, and then he gives them a parable in the 44th verse. That's just one verse, which is the parable of the hidden treasure. And I want to read that and try to talk about it a little bit, and then I'll share with you the things that are on my heart and my life this morning. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Can you imagine walking through a piece of property that you're looking at buying, and all of a sudden you discover hidden on that property is great, great treasure. You're looking at the property, and all of a sudden you're debating buying it, and then you decide it's worth so much that I'm going to take everything that I have, and I'm going to sell it. I'm going to pull it together. I'm going to call my friends. I'm going to find a way that I can purchase this property. You know, in this case, the man is surveying the field, just looking, and he finds treasure while looking over the field. Then he hides it so that he can go and buy the field, sells everything that he has to obtain enough money to buy it, and then he returns to buy that field so that he can obtain for himself that treasure. You know, some of us, and I know we've all been through this in our times in our life, and I think back on my life, especially when I was younger, I think I looked at things and I had a different understanding than I do now. But have you ever looked at something and when you saw it, you said, I've just got to have it. Yeah. I've just got to have it. I've said this before, but it fits, and I'm sure this will bring back memories for everyone here. I can remember right after I'd got out of high school and I was going to work, you know what I wanted? I wanted a car. I wanted a truck, whatever. I wanted stuff. And I can remember when the Buick Grand National came out, the black one, you know, that had the V6, and it was so fast it would outrun a Corvette. Then the Honda CRX, the little sports car that was supposed to be so fast. And in my mind, as a 19-year-old boy, I thought if I just had that car, I would never want. I remember thinking this. If I had that car, I'd never want anything else. It's kind of like when a child comes to their parents and they say, oh, mama, oh, daddy, if you'll just give me this, I won't want nothing else. I'll do right, I'll do all my homework, I'll do this, because that's all that I want. But you know what I really found out? It didn't last long. It's kind of like the guy who says, you know, I just got to have that new truck. And I've experienced this, some of you have experienced it, some of you have friends that are there right now. They love it, they want it, till the payment book shows up in the mail. And about two or three payments into that truck, they think, you know, my old truck, it ran just as good. And I had money that I could stop when I wanted to. Now, I know this is foreign to most people in today's time, but some of you remember what it was like just to struggle with your budget every week to have enough money that if your kids want a milkshake, you can stop and get them one. Some people never experienced that. There may be some going through it right now. But I want to tell you something, folks. We're blessed.
Amen.
We're blessed more than we even understand. Now, what about you this morning? What do you think about if I only had, and you fill in the blank. What fills your blank this morning? I mean, you stop and think about it. Are you absolutely happy? Are you absolutely at peace? Do you have everything that you want? Are you content? You know, the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. If I only had, what are you missing in your life this morning? What fills the blank that gets you to the point that you are content? Whatever it is, it's the treasure that's hid in this field. Now, think about it this morning. What do you treasure? I can, you know, the things that I treasure the most, and I want to share with you why this scripture is on my heart right now. Tell you the things that I treasure most in life. You know, this week, I've been to 2 funerals. Preached over 2 people that lived their life for God. They were godly Christian people that every testimony of their life showed that they lived for Him. I've got calls from people that I love, that I care about, that are dear to my heart. And when they shared with me the news of what they were going through, I want to tell you something. It was just like my heart was melting and draining down inside of me. I've dealt with my loved ones and situations and challenges of life. And I want to tell you some of the challenges, okay? It's not just for the person that's 87 years old that's up here that has to be taken care of by someone else. I want to tell you something else. It troubles my heart when I see the struggles that our young people are going through. Or when they go to school or they go to college and they're living for God and the world stands against them. It pulls down on my heart because the treasures that I have in reality are more on the other side than on this side. See, when you look at losses, changes, challenges, bad health, bad reports from the doctor, challenges of life from living in a fallen world. And let's remember that, folks. This is not heaven. It was paradise, but because sin entered it and a curse, Adam was cast out of the garden. And there's a curse on this earth, there's a curse on man, and there are thorns and thistles of life. I don't like thorns and thistles. I don't like mildew. I don't like rust. But sometimes the thorns and thistles of life weigh us down. And I hear people say things like this. I heard one say it this week. They say, why can't I get a break? Why is it that everything that I try to do, it seems like there are challenges that come against me? Remember, we're living in a fallen world. Now, if we look at this scripture, in the scripture that talks about a treasure hid in the field, made me think about what's precious. I want to tell you what's precious to me this morning, and I believe it's going to be this way for God's family. It's going to be this way for Christians. Folks, Jesus is precious to me. He's a treasure to me, and I want you to think about what you think when you say the name of Jesus. Is it precious? Is He foreign? Do you know Him? Is He your Savior? Or can you take Him or leave Him? Well, I want to tell you, He's precious to me. Has a precious place in my heart because I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior and I got Him for myself. I didn't get Him because my daddy was a preacher. I didn't get Him because of my mama. I met Him when I heard Earl Partain preaching at a revival at Welcome Hill Baptist Church, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that man's talking to you. Amen. Jesus is precious to me. When I see the world mock Him, it bothers me. I heard a politician this week, and I don't pay a whole lot of attention to what politicians say because most of them on either side, I don't much care for what they say. But I heard a lady that was making a comment about her own party, and she was actually lambasting them, telling them that they've gone the wrong direction by treating people this way. Do you know, you remember when the hurricane was coming across and it was about to hit Florida and it set right over the Bahamas and it was a Category 5 and they said it was going to go through Florida and they talked about all the damage that it was going to do just a couple of weeks ago? And you know what people did, and they were talking about it? I tell you the same thing they did. It's what they did on 9/11 when those planes ran into that tower. People started crying out to God because they knew when that storm hit, everything they had would be gone. People started praying. People that go to church were praying. People that don't go to church were praying. People that pray every day were praying. People that pray only when they need the spare tire out of the trunk were praying. And some of these Democratic leaders stood up and they mocked them. Made fun of them for crying out to God. You know, they mock us. Well, Jesus is precious to me. And this lady, she stood up before her own party. She said, "What are you all doing to yourselves? By standing up and mocking God and saying that it's ridiculous for people to pray and ask God to help them." And she said this, "Don't you know that God is powerful enough to turn a storm?" When I see people mock God, I don't care. And I told somebody this recently. I said, I'd love to sit down with, I don't care who they are, and we can debate Jesus if they want to, because I know who he is. I know the word of God is true. But the Bible says to cast not your pearl before the swine. If people don't want the Lord, I'm going to take my share and I'm going to heaven and I'm going to keep praying, because I believe that the God that we serve, he answers prayer. Yes. Amen. Jesus is precious to me. The church, this church, the church. Remember what I said about meeting people just a few days ago? And it's like, this is my family. These are my people. This is the salt of the earth. Amen. These are the children of God. The family of God is precious to me. You know, some people, when they look at church, it's like this. All they see is a bunch of hypocrites. That's their mind. You know what they say? When they start that stuff with me, I say, "Well, just come on down. There'll be one more, but at least you'll be in the right place." And I think about what Jesus said. He told Peter this. Now, y'all correct me if I'm wrong. He said, "Peter, when you see somebody doing right and acting right and you know, living Christ-like, just like me, you're supposed to love them." What he actually said, he said, "Feed my sheep." He said, "Feed my lambs." He didn't say when they do right. He didn't say when they don't do right. I want to tell you something. If God only loved you when you did right, how much would you be loved? Sometimes I thank the Lord that God gave me a wife that loves me even when I'm in a bad mood. Amen. What did Jesus say? He said, "Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs." Now, how much does God love us? The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you right where you're at. And you know what, folks? As a family of God, we're supposed to love one another right where they're at. We're not perfect people. We're forgiven people. See, Jesus is precious. The church is precious. And I'll tell you something else that's precious to me is the Christian way of life. Do you treasure the old paths? Does godliness matter to you? Do the declining values in America and the situation that we see things going off? It's like a train that's off track that's headed for destruction, and sometimes people don't even see it. I want to tell you something, folks. Godliness and holiness matters. How you live matters. The preaching of the Word of God matters. Somebody told me recently, they came and visited the church. They said, "You know, we were going to a good church. They got all these programs. They got a program for this and a program for that. And they got great music. But when it comes time for opening the Bible, they'll open it and read two or three verses and that's it. There's no preaching of the gospel. There's no challenge." Can I tell you something? If you're not in a church where you're being convicted and God's speaking to your heart about something, you need to find you another one. What about the peace of God? Do you treasure the peace of God? Does it mean something? And I looked as they sang songs this morning, and I was sitting here looking at the choir, and I could see God moving from person to person to person. I heard something on Facebook this week. It's another one of those, my wife says, "Hey, look at this." And she showed it to me, and it was a person up in front of the church, and they were challenging them. And here's what they said. You don't need the next group. You don't need the next person to come. You don't need to get this one because they're famous. What you need to do is every one of you get right with God and realize that the worshipers are here, the singers are here, the servants are here. And when we start doing what God wants us to do, it'll be enough. We won't have to look somewhere else or go somewhere else because the same Spirit that raised Jesus up is available to you and to me this morning. Some people's hearts burn for the things of God. Somebody said something this morning. They told me about preaching. I didn't know. I don't know all this is coming, but here it is. They said something this morning about a preacher. You know, sometimes I think about Oldcastle, and I'm looking forward to the day that I can get away from it. But when I think about the things of God, as long as I've got strength, as long as I've got breath, I can't imagine but be like Jeremiah when he said his word was in my heart as a continual fire shut up with my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You know what he's saying? He says, I couldn't stop preaching the word of God because it was burning in my heart. Jesus, after he had been crucified and arose from the grave, the disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus. And all of a sudden, Jesus, he just comes and he's walking with them. And it's like you and I when our hearts are heavy, when the things of life are weighing down on us, and they were walking and they were talking, and Jesus began to speak to them, but the things of life were so heavy upon them, just like you and I, they could not recognize him. And he started talking to them. And as they walked and he departed a different way, they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened the scriptures to us? You see, if you recognize the treasure. But unfortunately, some people walk right over the treasure. Now, I can go into an antique store, and I couldn't tell you what need to be on the burn pile or what you need to buy because they've got a $2 stick heater on it, and it's worth $200. I just couldn't. That's the way it is for a lot of people. They come in church, and they see the things of God, and they can take it, they can leave it. They don't have any value in it. They don't have any desire for it. It's a matter of convenience. I'll come when I can come. I'll do when I can do. But he's not precious. Do you consider it unimportant? Or for some people, have you decided not to consider it at all? I want to say this. I'm going to try to move on. It's not late, but I'm going to try to move. Here's where we're at, where we're living in the world today. This is where you see people that live their life, and it's just like it's day to day. You know, it don't matter. They go and every paycheck they get, everything that they get, they want to just go have fun. They just want to go do whatever they want to do. They want to do their thing. And they don't think about tomorrow. They don't think about what's important. Parents don't think about their children. It's a shame today that so many people are saying, you take them this week so I can go have my fun, and next week I'll take them and you can go have your fun. Whatever happened to living for God? Whatever happened for being an example and pouring your heart into them, knowing that one day they're going to carry the message somewhere else? But that's not where people are at. Why? Because people, rather than listen and think about it and search their heart, have decided not to consider it at all. Now, here's what I want you to understand about this scripture. This is a parable. This story is really not about a treasure hid in a field. This story is about the kingdom of heaven. Remember the first part that we read? It said, the kingdom of heaven is like. You see, the story really is about the kingdom of heaven. It's about a person recognizing the value in what's there. Now, I heard somebody say this to me this week, and I believe that this is true. I have more on the other side than this side. Now, folks, here's where I'm at. I'm going. I know I'm going. And if God called me, I'm ready to go. But I want to tell you something. I still got a lot to do. And I really feel that way. I feel like I have a great responsibility. The responsibility as a dad, the responsibility as a husband, the responsibility as a pastor, the responsibility as a preacher, the responsibility to ring the bell that Jesus is coming and we need to get ready. Yes. Now, when God calls, I'm going, and His timing is perfect. Okay? But this story is about the kingdom of heaven. Here's three important things. I'm going to try to give them to you. Number one, you must recognize the treasure. You must see the treasure, and you must see the value of the treasure. What is junk to one person is absolute treasure to another. Somebody told me a story recently of a family. This is up on Sand Mountain over in Alabama. A family, just a true story. They were cleaning out their grandmother's house. You know, that's what happens when our loved ones pass. Sometimes they get to the point, they get old, they really can't even take care of themselves. And I've thought about it, preparing to go to heaven. They're cleaning out their grandmother's house, and they get up in the attic, and they start pulling down these old clothes, old boxes of paper, old relics and things as they look at it. You know what they did with these old clothes and these old boxes of paper? They just took them outside and they began to build a bonfire. Someone found out about it, knowing a little bit about the lady, and they tried to get over to the house. By the time they got there, there was a smoldering fire. All of those documents from the Civil War, all of those uniforms from the Civil War had been burned up. And they said, I went over and dug through the pile and took out the brass buttons that were left. You know, that's the way a lot of times it is. If people just understood the treasure that is being offered in Jesus Christ. But they don't see the treasure. They mock. And they pile the things that are absolute, the most important things in life to me, on a trash heap. When I think about this treasure, I'm going to be honest with you, I think about my dad. We grew up in little country churches. And I can remember sometimes coming into church and we'd come in and sometimes there wouldn't be a whole lot of people there. Sometimes maybe 8 or 10 or 15, and my dad had worked all day and he sat right there. That seat. Right over here on this seat right here on the very end, there was a man named Harley Kimmons that sat. And when he sat right here, the carpet was actually just wore out where he would sit there and shuffle his feet. Right there where you're sitting, brother, there was a man named Bobby that sat right there. Bobby Long. Right over here was Brother Gordon Kimmons. Right over here was a man we call AC, Mr. O'Neill. Right back there where you're sitting was Miss Etheridge. She knew what a hanky was before the McCamies did. And I think about these people, and I think about what the Scripture says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst. We'd come together, and they'd start worshiping God. You know why it was worship? Because they did not want to be anywhere else. And I sat there as a young man, as a teenager, and I watched them, and I tell you what I learned. I learned more from watching those people than you'll ever get at Bible college, than you'll ever get at Super Wow in Daytona Beach. I tell you what I learned. I learned what it meant to love God. They recognize the treasure. Then you got to reach out for the treasure. You see, seeing and recognizing is not enough. You must do something about it. In this story, it said they desired and they went and they bought the field. You see, if you understand the value of the treasure that's being offered in Jesus, you'll give up everything else. Now, I want to tell you, I'm one of those that I believe it's the greatest thing. I don't believe as a Christian you are missing anything. I don't believe you're missing the world. I think you've conquered it. Because everything that Satan has is a counterfeit for the things of God and something that God has better for you. Amen. All that's running around is a counterfeit for the kind of relationship that God wants you to have with the person that He wants you to be in your life with. Amen. All this drugs and alcohol and all those things are a counterfeit for the Holy Spirit, because that's why the Bible says specifically, be not filled drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because God has something to fill you with that will allow you to have power, that will allow you to have strength, that will help you fight your battles. Yeah, yeah. And the devil doesn't want you to know about it. You see, you got to reach out and get a hold of God. You got to walk with God and recognize the best life that you'll ever have, the best peace that you'll ever have, the best place you'll ever be is in the place of His perfect will. But unfortunately, many have made a premeditated decision that they will not give up anything to come to Christ. The song says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Him. You see, when I am looking at life, when I look at the children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren, when I walk out that door, and praise the Lord, it was 58 this morning. And I look and I see the leaves begin to fall, and the sun is bright and clear, and I see God's creation and what God's done. It's like, good morning, Lord. It's not good Lord this morning. It's good morning, Lord. Yes. Because I'm going to walk with Him while I'm here. You know, the problem I have is not all that stuff and all the world. It's me. It's overcoming me. What I have to do is realize I can't do it by myself. Number three, you've got to receive the treasure. You must accept Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, as a treasure for you. Now, one thing I can do, and this is just in my heart, if I can work and save and prepare that when I'm gone, and this is what I want to do, my wife has what she needs. If I could, every one of you would get a down payment for your house from me. But I can't. But when I'm gone, I'm going to take everything I've got, and I'm going to say, honey, here's a list of all my stuff. Now, I got stuff. I got four-wheelers. I got guns. I got fishing rods. I got tractors. I got trailers. If I knew I was going to die and had a little time, I'd try to sell all that stuff so she could have the money. Because when I'm gone, it's not going to matter. I'm not King Tut. Don't bury it with me. Amen. I'm going to a better place. Amen. But you got to accept it for you. And here's why I said that. When I die, whatever I have will be given to somebody else. But that doesn't work that way with salvation. You got to get it for yourself. Amen. Just because my daddy was a preacher didn't make me a preacher. Just because my Sunday school teachers, and thank God I had a lot of good Sunday school teachers, they didn't save me. The Holy Spirit began to knock on my heart's door, and I had to get up and come to an altar of repentance and ask the Lord into my heart. You got to receive the treasure. Sometimes people say, and it's said before, and I've witnessed people this way, they say, well, I'm just not ready to give this up. You really don't even understand. You don't even understand. You think you're giving something up? You know, I had a guy tell me one time, I had him on my heart. I went and knocked on his door, and I went in his house, and I talked to him, and I went back a couple of times. He said, you know, it's what he told me. He said, I just like to smoke marijuana. He said, I just don't know that I want to give that up. And every now and then I like to do this. And I want to tell you something, folks. I was a young man. I was probably 19 or 20 years old, and I already knew. I said, you don't understand. It's not about how good you are. It's not about what you do. It's not about what you give up. You're missing out on Jesus. You're missing out on a relationship with God. And because you reject Him and you turn Him away, you may one day be missing out on eternity with Him. You're not giving up anything to follow God. That's all a lie of the devil. See, what he doesn't want you to understand is this treasure. See, as I'm pouring my heart out, and I want to tell you, it's a treasure to me. The Bible says if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, which is Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto him. In other words, if he can keep people believing all that stuff, they'll not understand how great the treasure is. And the last point, I want you to consider that rejecting this treasure will leave you eternally destitute without God. Now, I don't know what you believe about eternity. I can tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that man is a trichotomy. He's got three parts. He's got a body, he's got a soul, and he's got a spirit. Now, this body is decaying. I found myself this week, and I know this might be odd to some of you, but we were comparing sunspots. Had a lady, she was all nervous, a Christian lady. She said, I didn't sleep a wink last night. I've got to go to the dermatologist today, and I've had cancer taken off here and here and here. And I said, well, look at this right here. And I got this here. I said, you know, I've got to the point when I go outside and I'm working in the woods or whatever, I'm going to wear a long sleeve shirt. I keep my bald head covered up. Folks, if y'all see me with a hat on at church events, please don't be offended. It's to cover up my head. That's all. I wouldn't wear one if I had hair. But you know what I found? It's just like one time I was teaching the youth over at Macklin on a youth night. And I said, all I want y'all to do is look at your hand. Just look at it and look at the difference in yours and mine. And I was with a brother yesterday, and I looked over at him, and I care for this person dearly. And I saw bruises. And I saw cuts. And I saw the difference in how their body heals versus mine. And I realized, as the Bible says, because of sin, when they were cast out of the garden, there was a curse put on this body. And this body, the flesh, is going to return to the dust from whence it came. But I want you to understand something, whether you believe it or not, whether you want it or not, whether you accept it or not, your soul and spirit is going to live forever with a new body that God's going to give you. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Now, the question, living forever, and you say, well, I don't want to live forever. It's not up to you. You create it.
That's right.
Where you want to live. Now, here's the question. By rejecting Jesus, you reject the kingdom of heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but not right now. That's okay. You know why? Because now we see through a glass darkly. We have an understanding, but in all honesty, it's limited. But I'm going. When the time comes and God calls my name, I'm going. But here's the thing, I want to go. So what about people who say, I don't believe in God? I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want no part of it. They mock you and I for praying that a hurricane will turn. Let me tell you something, folks. They're not going. Not everybody's going to heaven. You got to want to. You got to recognize the treasure. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. I'm going to ask you if you would, just for a moment, let's bow our heads in prayer. You say, well, I don't understand all that. I don't understand why you get so excited, why you jump around, why you raise your voice. Folks, I want to tell you why, because it means something to me. Because
yes.
It is a real treasure to me, and I believe every word that I've said. You say, well, I don't understand everything about it. I don't understand everything that it means. But I want to ask you something. How does your heart feel? Do you feel like maybe God's speaking to you? Maybe God's real? Maybe the Creator that is so high and above us, it's hard for us to even understand Him with our limited mind. Maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe there's somebody this morning that say, I'd like to just know. I'd like to just know that I could go to heaven. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. That's, you know, it's not about keeping up with numbers. It's not about me. I tell you what it's about. It's about giving people an opportunity to talk to God. So I'm not going to embarrass you at all. I would not call you out at all. I just want to ask you if you're here. And you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. And you'd like to know that when you die, you go into heaven. You know, Jesus Christ loved you enough to send His only begotten Son to die on a cross. Maybe you could pray a prayer like this. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I know that sometimes I do things that are not right. And I need forgiveness. Lord, I invite you to come into my heart. Lord, I ask you for that forgiveness. I know I have nothing that I could pay in return. But I want to know that when I die, Lord, I'll be with you. Don't understand everything now. But one day, Lord, I believe you'll help us all to be able to see things so much better. Lord, I ask you to be my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to open the altar. Of course, the altars are always open, and here's what it could be. Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10 that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth, we shall be saved. If you'd like to just come and talk to God, ladies will pray with you. Men will pray with you. Youth, if y'all want to come, pray for one another. I want to tell you something, pray. Yes. Let's pray for our church. We got people in this church that are hurting. I believe in miracles. Yes. God's got things He's going to do great in this church, and we need to trust Him and walk with Him. Well, right now, as they play this song, I choose Christ. Would you come? Would you come and pray right now?